You're listening to The Plate Up, a podcast for the food and beverage world, from restaurants to bars, hotels and travel. My name is Hisham Pearis and I'm the corporate executive chef for Banyan Tree Hotels and Resorts. And I'm joined by my F&B counterpart, Sebastian Divascaya, F&B director at the one and only hotel in Mexico. And over the next hour, we are hoping to tackle some of the hottest topics in F&B, share some stories, go through our process, talk about the lessons we've learned, and how to untangle some of the complexities in this industry. How are you, man?
Man, it's been a while.
It's been a while and a half.
Many things have happened.
Why not? What has happened? What has happened?
You know, we live in a space, in a compressed space-time. So a week and a half is like 3 years gone by.
Well, yeah, it's like fucking... what is it? What's that movie with... Where the guy goes into space, comes back, everyone's old.
Is that Interstellar?
There you go. I haven't seen it, but I know the concept.
I prefer the concept of Son Goku in Dragon Ball going into training at the temple where 1 hour is 1 year. 1 hour outside is 1 year inside. Or one day.
So what has happened there?
So, I had to go through a few trips to to get all of my migration, my immigration documents in line. And so I had to go to the United States because that was the closest Mexican consulate.
Yep.
And then I had to go to Mexico City, two weeks apart, to actually
Fun
get...
Weird times.
I'm gonna tell you all about the trip to LA was the weirdest trip I've ever done in my life.
Yes, I mean, I remember our very brief discussion, but yes.
And the trip to Mexico City was a bit easier and better, but traveling in these times of COVID-19 puts a lot of things in perspective.
In what way?
Well, everything that we take for granted and that were easy, especially for people like you and me that travel quite a bit, well, they get more complicated. You know, you don't have to worry about yourself only. You have also to worry about what other people are doing.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
So there's an entire new dimension, and there's been a few times where I was walking in the middle of the street and I was just fed up with everything because I had a jacket, I had a briefcase, I had a mask on, my nose was runny, I had my hands full, it sounds like I'm whining, but it's just a lot of things, as I said, that we take for granted are more complicated and more difficult. The interesting part was LA for a few reasons. Obviously, the flights, the airports are very empty, but the flights are packed. There's no such thing as social distancing in the plane.
Every seat's packed.
Every seat.
Okay. Where are all these people going?
I don't know. I think a lot of them are going back home. A lot of them were either stranded, like I left from Mexico to LA. So I think a lot of people were either hiding out or living out the confinement, the lockdown in Mexico instead of being in the US.
Oh, okay. This is from, obviously it's from Mexico. That's right.
So I think people were going back home or going to visit family. So the flights were full. The airlines are doing a good job at telling you have to enter the plane with a mask. If you don't wear your face mask at all times, you will be kicked out of the plane, pretty much.
Yep.
So that's very, very clear. And then The airport procedures in themselves are not too different. The only extra thing you have to do is fill like a health and safety waiver, where they ask you the typical questions: where have you been in the last 14 days? Which countries have you visited? Do you have any signs of COVID-19, fever, etc., etc.? And every time you enter or exit an airport, or let's say if you're going to exit the baggage claim area, someone will take a temperature and check that you filled in that form properly so that there's traceability, and then they let you go. So it's not, in terms of procedures, it's not more complicated than the past. But LA, we stayed downtown because it was closest to the consulate, the Mexican consulate. We arrived on a Wednesday, I think, and downtown LA was a no man's land.
Really?
You know, well, it was like a scene from the movie I Am Legend. It was very, very strange. It felt like a very early Sunday morning.
Okay.
In Europe, where all businesses are closed and you have very few people in the streets. That's how it felt like.
Okay.
So it's very strange. And I had no idea, but apparently it's common knowledge nowadays that downtown LA is full of homeless people. And I was shocked. I thought that was because of the situation, but I was told that no, it's become like this, quite apparently. A lot of businesses closed, especially F&B businesses. A lot of restaurants closed, even boarded up. I mean, the windows completely boarded up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of eviction notices, a lot of signs mentioning, hey, business license available, rental space available for restaurants, please contact us number. So a lot of businesses, like in downtown LA, we could really feel the consequences of COVID-19, the consequences of lockdown, and especially for restaurants. It was very clear. Especially the day we arrived, just one or two days before, the governor of California had put back a lockdown on restaurants. And so restaurants were only allowed to do takeaway, or you could dine if the restaurant had a terrace, had an outdoor space. So yeah, it was very strange to walk downtown, or to walk in a big city with, like, in a bustling, normally bustling, modern town, and almost no one around.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange. But the strangest thing was how the hotel where we stayed handled the whole situation.
Yes, so let's discuss that. Let's dissect that whole experience.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you first everything that happened, like as it is, and then we can pick it apart and see where things have fallen apart, or why we think, or my opinion on why I think these things were. So we stayed downtown in a hotel that I'm not going to mention, but it's part of a huge hotel
yes.
chain.
Yes.
Check in. So it's a very big hotel, and there were, I believe, four big check-in counters. Only two of them were manned. Actually, one was manned, and there was a duty manager that was manning the second one, but he was just filling in.
So what time was check-in? What time did you arrive?
We arrived 6 p.m.
Okay. So nothing...
No rush hour. Because,
yeah, yeah. And it's not graveyard shift either.
No. Really beginning of the evening, in the middle of a shift. So what they had done to allow social distancing is that they had used the I don't even know how these are called anymore. There are these posts that you can drag a tape across to just to create barriers, or they use it at the airport to create lines.
Ah, like staunchions, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So they had those to create a line, but there was not much line. And then right in front of the front desk, they had put, you know, these crime scene tapes?
No.
The yellow ones?
Yeah.
So they had put that. So you have to imagine it's attached to one corner of the desk.
And this is a five-star hotel.
This is a five-star hotel. So from my side, if I'm facing the desk, on the left corner, the tape was attached, and then it was run diagonally, attached to a post on the other hand of the desk. The whole purpose of this was that they wanted people not to speak directly in front of a receptionist. It had to be in diagonal, so they would automatically be a safe distance.
Okay.
But they had used, I like to call it crime scene tape, to block off the part where the receptionist was. So I arrive, I say hi to the guy, and he says, hello, welcome. And then he extends a little tray where he asked me to put my passport and my credit card, which I thought was neat. So there's no physical contact.
Yep.
He grabbed my documents, found my booking, took my deposit. And then he said, welcome. And I just want to let you know, our restaurants are closed. So none of our restaurants are open. We only have the lobby lounge, which is kind of a takeaway deli in the center of the lobby, open.
Now, the restaurants are closed because of COVID?
Yes, because of COVID. Because they don't have any outdoor space. So they were not allowed to give any indoor dining.
So and how many restaurants were there?
I think from memory, they had 3 or 4.
Okay.
But the lobby lounge was open, and the lobby lounge is, it's like a grab and go. You can go and ask for a coffee or a beer or a bottle of water. And they had pizzas as well available. So I asked, what about room service? Can I order room service? And he said, no. Well, yes and no. Yes, we have a room service menu. But you have to order it, and then you have to go and pick it up at the lobby lounge yourself.
So it's not really room service.
It's room service yourself.
Room service 2.0.
So I said, okay, fine, fair enough. No problem. And he gave us the keys, and he said, this is the elevator. Welcome. Okay. So we go into the elevator. We arrive at the room. We open the room. And when we look at the beds, honestly, the bed was made, but it looked like someone had rolled 3 times across the bed and sat 2 times on each pillow. And I was tired, and I was like, okay, whatever. I guess the guy who did the room didn't really care very much. And Pam said, no, it can't be. Look, the duvet, which is folded at the end of the bed, doesn't even have a cover. It's just a duvet. So I said, oh yeah, you're right. So she took a picture, and we wanted to go out to get something to eat. So we said, okay, let's leave the luggage here. Let's take a picture, we go out, and we'll deal with this when we come back. So we went out, we went for a quick bite, and when we came back an hour later, 7:30-ish, we went to the reception and we showed the picture to the receptionist, and we said, hey, we just checked in. This is the state of the bed. Is this normal? And the guy looked at it and said, the setup is normal, but normally it's nicer. So I looked at him and he said, do you want to change rooms? And we said, yes, please. So he gave us keys to the new room. And he said, just grab your luggage, leave the old keys in the old room and enjoy your new room. So that's what we did. We took our luggage, changed rooms 2 floors up, opened the door, exactly same setup, except whoever made the room did not sit on the pillows.
Right. Now, let me just interrupt you. Was he at any point did he show any levels of empathy or like it was handled professionally?
He was genuinely surprised by the picture. But I think he was also aware that this really bare-bone bed
setup
was kind of what was practiced at the moment. Mm. So, okay, no matter. We keep the room. I look around a bit because this is what we do as hoteliers, right? We like to look around our rooms.
Yeah.
So I noticed that everything was individually plastic-wrapped.
Okay.
The remote control for the TV was was wrapped in a plastic wrap, plastic sleeve. All the tea and coffee amenities were also packaged in a plastic bag. The cups in the bathroom, where you usually put your toothbrush or rinse your mouth, were takeaway cups, plastic takeaway cups, individually packed. Everything was really very bare bone and everything was individually packed. It felt like a surgical environment, but I understand. Fair enough. These are guidelines and you have to do it. So at that point, we wanted to take a shower. So, Pam, my girlfriend, went first, and 5 seconds after entering the bathroom, she told me, "Hey, call housekeeping and ask them to send you more towels because they only set up one set of towels in the room."
Right.
So I said, okay, fine. So I pick up the phone, I call directly to housekeeping, and I say, "Hello, good evening. Could you please send housekeeping to the room with a set of towels because I only have one set of towels in the room and there's two of us?" And she said, "I'm sorry, housekeeping is gone for the day."
And this is what time now?
7:30 p.m. I was shocked. I said, okay. And then she said, "You need to contact front desk for your towels."
Right.
And I said, all right, so I can call front desk and they will send someone with a towel? And she said, no. We don't send anyone to rooms. You have to go to front desk and get your set of towels. So I said, right, forget it. I'm not going to go down and pick up towels at 7:30 when I'm completely tired, 15 floors down. And anyway, so the next day we went down, we asked for towels. And while we were asking for towels, there was another lady asking for pool towels. And so the guy from the reception went in the back and came back with 2 pool towels rolled, like they usually are.
This is now you're saying the next day.
This is the next day.
So this is housekeeping.
No,
just sent you to front office.
They don't deliver to rooms, apparently, as per COVID-19. And the pool towels were individually wrapped in cling film, in Glad wrap.
Okay. Nice.
Nice. 5-star. And yeah, so another thing I have to point out is that when we checked in, the guy told me, whenever you want your room to be cleaned, you need to let us know when you're leaving the room, because we can only send in someone to your room 3 hours after you've left the room. So if you want someone to clean your room and you're leaving the room at 12, you need to let us know and we'll send someone in at 3 to service your room.
Okay.
So I didn't know if that was because of COVID-19 or because they were lacking staff. And that's what we're going to dissect now, is to try to understand, well, A, how come someone makes a bed like
that?
Like that. Or that housekeeping at 7:30 p.m. is gone for the day. Or that there's a gap of 3 hours before someone can come and clean your room.
Now, before we get onto that.
Yeah.
Is there Was there any, okay, like I'll give you, I guess this is, I'll give you something that happened to me on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I will probably ask you the same. So I flew to Chiang Mai. I got back from Chiang Mai, right?
Yeah.
At Bangkok Airport, Suvarnabhumi. And they disembarked the plane row by row.
Yes.
To have social distancing. So they say row one, blah, blah, you go row, blah, blah, two, go, mm-hmm. right. And this was a situation where we got into buses.
Yes.
So the problem was, yes, they did this great job of separating everyone on the plane.
Yeah.
But then all they do is put everyone on a bus crammed together.
Yes.
Right. So there was no, so you kind of go, you're doing one thing really good, but then doing another thing really poorly right next to it. Right. So it doesn't matter what you're doing here, it's just wasted here. So what I want to know is, even though they're doing all this sanitizing and, you know, you got to go through this hassle of picking up your towels and, you know, they got this 3-hour wait. Did you feel they were doing everything? Like, was there, did you find, like, I think for this you nearly have to go over the top, right, to make people to feel comfortable. Okay, I feel very comfortable. I feel, when I say comfortable, I feel very comfortable that these guys are keeping everything clean.
Yeah.
Or, so was it across the board, or was it just you kind of go, this is just some policy and procedure they've put in here, but they haven't really seen it through the entire experience where, you know, you kind of somewhere down the track, everyone's sharing, touching the same doors and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget, this is the country with the most COVID cases.
Yeah, yeah, no, yes. I think, and I don't know if you want me to tell you about my experience in a hotel in Mexico City, because it's night and day. Okay. Like Mexico City, we stayed in another 5-star hotel, and from the moment you arrive, like you exit the taxi at the porte cochere, you can't even enter straight to the lobby. You have to go through a security check where they take your temperature. They ask you where you're coming, what they're doing.
This is a U.S. hotel.
No, this is in Mexico.
Okay.
I'm just giving you the other experience so we can compare.
Okay, yeah.
And talking about what you mentioned, the feeling, right, of feeling safe and feeling that they're doing everything in their power to protect you and themselves. So yeah, before you arrive into the lobby, they take your temperature, they ask you where you're coming from, and once your temperature is okay, they ask you, literally the doorman asks you to pass your hand under the automatic sanitizing gel dispenser to ensure that you are wiping your hands before entering the hotel. At the lobby, there's signage everywhere on the floor to queue. The direction, right hand, you're going forward, and exit is on the left hand. And each booth, each desk, the reception desk, is completely protected by a plexiglass, not even plexiglass, it was glass, like a glass window, with only a tiny opening at the bottom where you can slide in your passport and your credit card. Everything they took from you, they wiped.
Okay.
As soon as they had my passport and my credit card in hand, they had a sanitizing wipe in their hand. They wiped the credit card. They wiped the credit card machine. They wiped the passport. So that was really cool. They gave me a pouch with face masks, sanitizing wipes, like individual little packets of wipes. Towels, all sorts of, like a little safety pack in case I didn't bring gel or wipes or a face mask. So that was really good. They explained to me that the restaurant, there was only one restaurant open. It was available for breakfast, but it had limited opening hours. Room service was available if we wanted. but only until 11 p.m., not overnight. And yeah, so that's what they informed. Probably every 10, 15 meters in the hotel, there's an automatic gel dispenser. Each digital screen in the hotel, normally, you know, they do promotions and posters, marketing posters. It was all about the guidelines for safe distance, wash your hands, and repeating that the hotel is doing its utmost to keep us and the team safe. They were public attendants everywhere. Everywhere you went, you could see someone cleaning something. So it really gave you the feeling that, okay, these guys are taking this very seriously and they're doing their best to clean and to keep the space clean. And same in the rooms, everything was packaged individually. All the minibar was gone, which is interesting. They removed all of the minibar because it's a high contact point. So that's all gone. But otherwise, all the other services were functioning as normal. So it was a very, very different experience.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, I think in the US, I think there's two things. I think they were struggling with their scheduling and their manning levels. I think probably the housekeeping team, the person who did my room or any other room, had like five floors to do by himself or herself. So they couldn't really care much about one individual bed.
But hang on.
I think now, I'm giving you my opinion. I think.
Hang on. I mean, I don't know how the ins and outs of housekeeping operations, right? But I know they work on the credit system, right? Bank over here, they work on, I think, 15 credits. So it's 15 rooms a day or something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're not having to set up the bed and put the sheets on the bed, that's saving you time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not forget that. And you don't have to worry about, you know, running towels up to the room and doing those other amenities.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what situation this hotel was financially, manpower wise. I'm just guessing.
Occupancy wise, was it full? Did you feel there was people moving about, or did it feel empty?
The whole hotel felt empty. But every time we went to the lobby, there was people checking in and checking out. This hotel worked a lot with air hostesses, like flight attendants. So they had a few cars or trucks of flight attendants coming in and out. I also had the impression there were like five different rap videos being filmed at the same time in the hotel. Because they were very loud parties and cars in front of the lobby. It was very funny. But if you walked into the lobby in the corridors, it's like when you walk in a city hotel at 4 a.m. in the morning. You know, this really strange, weird feeling that you have, that it's this big space, but there's no one around. It felt like that. It felt like a dead place. Like the soul of the hotel was gone. And then I think what happened, or what is happening, is that at a corporate level, a lot of people have been meeting and talking and conferencing about the COVID-19 guidelines and doing their best to follow the government guidelines and whatever guidelines are implemented and they have to implement. And I think they just threw these guidelines to the individual hotels and just told them, okay, guys, this is what you have to do. Good luck. And no one actually went down to see how these guidelines are implemented and how these things are done. And I think that's where you have a lot of gaps, like what you just explained with the airport. That, okay, it's great in the plane. Someone thought about, we need to exit the plane in different rows because otherwise we can't respect social distancing. But then no one thought about the next step, which is the bus. So if someone is on the floor, someone who has come up with these guidelines and actually goes through them, he will find out, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I mean, at least that's what I think. So I think I think they were just given directives from above and told them to do their best. Let's put it in different terms. It's like if you told one of your guys, okay, man, tomorrow, do me a Moroccan buffet.
Yep.
And you don't go and check. So the guy is going to do whatever he thinks is
more. We've had this problem, right?
Yes, we had this conversation.
We had this problem privately, but yes, we know this situation actually happened.
So the guy is going to do what he thinks best. But if no one comes and checks, he doesn't know if he's right or wrong. So I'm sure that if someone from corporate or even a GM would have been in that lobby and seen his duty manager giving a pool towel wrapped in cling film to one of the guests, well, A, he would have died inside, and B, he would have said, maybe the directive was not clear enough, or we need to do this differently. But clearly, that was not the case.
What did you give it? You didn't give any feedback, I'm assuming.
No. I didn't want to be that guy. And apart from the bed, we felt that was a bit over the top. The rest is just observations. I mean, if I'm notice these things because I'm a hotelier, if no one else complains.
But is this because now a lot of things are just happening on the fly?
I think so. Yes.
Or okay, let's. I see it this way. A lot of brand standards, because these are brand standards, mm-hmm. right, have been tried and tested, and you know they've been piloted in one hotel, yeah. you know, then into a cluster of hotels, and then it goes into a regional global rollout.
Yeah,
we're talking about something that the entire brands have had to implement instantly.
Yes.
Right. By taking a one size fits all approach.
Yes.
Right. Because we're having the exact same problem. Right. Mm. You can't implement something that happens in big city hotels. You can't cater for big city hotels the same way you cater for resorts and vice versa. Right. Mm. And then even resorts can be broken down even further because, you know, you got those ones that are small. And let's not forget, it's not just one size fits all. It's like one size fits all brands under one brand umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a Marriott, I think Marriott has what? St. Regis, they have W's theirs. They got their JW, then they got Marriott, then they've got a lot.
Yeah.
It's nearly like they've taken the same SOP and carbon copied across all brands, maybe changed the heading a few times and maybe added, but that's nearly what's happened. And yes. I think this is the consequence of, having to implement something instantaneously because, I think it happened with one brand, everyone saw, shit, we have to do something about this because our customers need to feel comfortable, and then it just snowballs into, oh, look, the next brand looks at them and go, oh, look, they're making a video. We also have to make our own video. Oh, look, they're telling everyone what their COVID guidelines are. Mm-hmm. We also, and this is what happens. And I dare I say it, nearly all brands have copied each other in the way of, they're snooping around, seeing what's happening, and they all take on each other's, touch points nearly.
And do you think that is because, and that is also part excusing a bit what's happening, do you think that's because a lack of clarity and directives from each individual government?
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Because brands have their own standards and then governments have their own standards, right? So you're kind of stuck between the two.
But we know that in hotels, usually whatever, like for food, especially for safety and hygiene.
Yeah, whatever is more stronger, you take the, you always take that.
Government supersedes whatever you do at a hotel level.
If it's more strict.
Yeah, if it's stricter, yes, correct.
Yeah, if it's more, you know, if it's much more stricter, yes. If it's not, then you kind of hold back on it. I look, in the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity to go and see a few hotels.
Mm-hmm.
I watched how Marriott Marquis, they implemented their buffets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were the first to launch a buffet. And the way they did this buffet, it was incredibly well done, well thought out. You could see somebody had really analyzed every process of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Akura to see they had some good deals. Everyone's got some great deals going on.
Yeah.
The one thing I noticed was that everyone nearly copies it, like customers nearly now have an expectation of, and I, some ways, sometimes it's stricter and sometimes, some ways it's laxed. So when restaurants were allowed to open here, you had to have separation. So you have to have those plastic partitions, right? At one point, people just said, this is ridiculous and stopped doing it. Right, some restaurants stopped doing it. Some restaurants kept it. The reality was no one got pulled up on having to have the, because I think even governments weren't really sure if, you know, the partition was that necessary.
Yeah.
So as a customer, you don't want to have a plastic sheet in front of you, especially when it's, you're eating with your loved ones, right, or people you know. So some restaurants were losing customers because they were too strict and they were – you know, as customers were going to places where they didn't have to conform to too many rules, right? Mm. So now those plastic partitions I see less and less and more less of, right? I do see some in food courts, like in the malls, you see it, but nearly all restaurants have stopped this plastic partition, right?
Okay.
Nearly all operations now use these thermal cameras.
Yeah.
As opposed to the manual check your temperature, right?
Yes.
And let's be honest. Like sometimes I look at these thermal cameras. I don't even know, like, because you can see the temperature come up as you walk up, right?
Mm.
I don't even see the thing read my temperature, and the security guys were just like, "Yeah, go, right?" So, you know, I think that's there because, again, it's a slower process to check everyone's temperatures, and I think customers are starting to get fed up. All right. So, you know, it's now some things are becoming more strict. Some things are more relaxed. Akura gave all their cutlery and service gear in nice individual plastic wrapped packets.
Okay.
Right. They gave you a little sign that said, this is the QR code. This is where our menus are. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we start reading this entire menu on your iPhone, but then other guests just said, no, give me the physical menu.
Mm.
So then, of course, they go and bring you the physical menu.
that's a problem because if the whole point is to not have any physical items, you should be able to say no.
Yeah. So it was interesting that they did these steps, and it goes back to this airline, you know, check everyone getting off the plane. They had these really, you know, individually packed. The waitress has a little badge that says temperature checked on her, and, you know, it's really well done. But then as soon as, if you just say to the waiter, listen, I want a physical menu, right? And rightfully so, trying to read a menu on an iPhone, especially with Japanese items and you got all these set menus, it's quite difficult. It goes into, you know, people are just like, give me what's easy. So what I find now, and then in Chiang Mai, I didn't see any of this stuff. other than the PVC piping plastic frames that they make to separate themselves.
Yes.
Everything else was just, you know, the bed was made and the towels felt like muslin cloth, right? because it wasn't my time. Right. But I think, you know, to come back to what you said, standards, it's nearly a situation of, I don't think, even I'm sure the brand that you were at, I nearly dropped the name, so I told back. I'm sure the brand that you're at, they can see these shortcomings. Mm. And I'm sure you're not the first person to say, look, this looks terrible, right? Mm. And I'm sure people around the, you know, their own, but now to come back and change this, which is now an entire global revision, right? And sometimes it takes a bit of time to put the, you know, they have a committee and everyone gets together and go, all right, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
To now revise this, I think that takes more time and energy where they're like, well, you know, I see it as a from a hotel brand point of view, they say, well, okay, the customer already knows they're going to be a little bit put out.
Yeah.
Let's just
run with it.
Let's just run with it. It's maybe for the short term. I think everyone's banking on this is a short-term solution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people understand this is not our 100% service. But, Sebastian, my very good one question I wanted to ask was it a cheaper rate than normal you expected?
No. No. That's the problem, is that you're still paying the full rate.
The full kit and caboodle.
Yeah. Now, I have another theory, and I want to run this through you. Because the overwhelming feeling I had in this hotel in LA as a hotelier was sadness.
Okay. Now, how many hotels did you stay at in LA? Just the one?
Just the one. It was two nights.
I thought you were going to check out and go to another one. That's why I wasn't
sure. No. It was sadness because I could see that these guys at the front desk were on their own. You could feel it. You could feel that these guys were the Starship Troopers. They were at the forefront of the trench, and they were the guys who, if they peeked out, they would get a sniper shot, a grenade. These are the guys that get impaled on bayonets. So what I thought was, because as a director, as a manager, I felt bad for these guys, that they were left on their own trying to figure out all of this and deal with all of this. And my first thought was, okay, it's great to come up with guidelines and standards and procedures and just trickle them down through the tree, the hierarchy. But isn't this the time where the senior leaders who actually take these decisions, these important decisions and these new guidelines, shouldn't these guys roll their sleeves up and go on the floor with their teams and say, okay, guys, I know it's not perfect. I know there's still a lot of things we need to figure out. Let's tackle these one by one and try to improve on a daily basis. Instead of doing what you just said, and which is what they're doing, well, let's bite the bullet. People will not be extremely happy, but this is just temporary.
Okay.
That was my feeling. It was like, okay, yes, things are complicated. Things change on a daily basis. But isn't this the time where companies, groups, humans need to get together and try to figure these things together? And I'm sure if there was a senior manager, even a VP, who cares, spending 2 hours on the floor during a check-in, he would have noticed all of these things and said, okay, maybe we can do a small adjustment here or a small adjustment there and improve the quality of things and the guest experience and his team's experience altogether. Because as a receptionist, man, once you're thrown into this situation, the only thing you want to do is to finish your shift and go home.
Of course.
And be safe. You're not thinking, oh, maybe I should wrap this a bit better. You do whatever you can.
Yep.
What's your thought on that?
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I think, I mean, it is.
Like, just talk about the situation about this Moroccan buffet. We talked about this because you actually went and checked what was happening.
But But my question to you is this, and I think it comes back to what you said. You kind of left to the wolves, right? Do you think that they feel they can make a difference? They can make a change. You know, like if you feel like, you know, whatever I say here, and let's not forget, again, you're talking about a monster global brand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you've got one thing that doesn't really work for you, do you think, and let's not forget, again, these big brands, to change something, the amount of process you have to go through, right?
Do you
think they've just given up before they even start? They go, you know what?
It's possible, but that's then where these big, big brands need to start thinking about how they're doing things.
And I'll give you something that I think this is a great case study. When I was at a Hilton I worked at previously, we were doing some renovations, right? And there was, of course, noisy work, right?
Yeah.
Which is going to disrupt the guest. And what we were told was, if a guest complains, just give him a bottle of wine. Just give him a bottle of wine. So it doesn't matter. You empathize with them. You say, yes, we understand the situation. Here's a bottle of wine for your cover, right? Maybe you can drink yourself to forget the noise or not hear the noise, right?
You'll sleep better tonight.
Yeah. But that was where we took a one-size-fit-all approach, right?
Yeah.
And some guests were just pissed off with that approach because, A,
course.
Maybe they don't drink wine, right? But B, it doesn't stop the noise problem, right? They've just got something, you know. So, and that was, you know, again, that was a big hotel situation where the hotel kind of said, we can't change this. We can't change this renovation we were doing. It's going to have to go ahead anyway. Like, we can't just say, well, you can't work at this hour or this hour, right? I think it might be that situation. You know, and this came from the top. This didn't come from some junior, you know, F&B manager or rooms manager that said, let's do it. This came from the top where they've kind of said, we just concede we're going to have this problem. Let's just live with it and mitigate as much as possible.
So what was the alternative? To close the hotel during the renovation or to close an entire wing?
I think it was to close an entire wing. You know.
But that could have been done. It's just missed revenue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you kind of have that balance. So you could kind of say, you know, this could be the exact same situation. You know, I flew for the first time and I saw some of the, you know, travel challenges, not challenges, but just the extra hoops and hurdles you have to go through, right? And again, I kind of say, well, you know, I had to travel for work. I would have preferred not to travel for work. I'd say that, you know, I wouldn't, if I had to travel for a holiday, I wouldn't travel under this, you know, all these challenges, right? But because it's a work, I will go, you know, it's something you got to go through. I kind of think the same overall on the same thing, you know, it's they're not really catering now for those. I think they're not catering to make moments or those things that they're famous for, you know, those brand touch points. They're kind of like, you know, you need a room, we've got a room, you know. But now I have a more important question.
Yes.
Will you ever go back to this brand?
No. No.
And was this your first time at this brand?
On a stay, yes.
Right. So isn't that probably something that's more important to now think about, because customers that experience your brand, you know, some customers are now experiencing this, your brand, for the first time, and this is their first impression.
Yes. And that is the whole point, is that it's not hospitality anymore. What I was given was four walls, a bed, and a roof.
Yep. Straight out of Red Dead Redemption.
Pretty much. I was given We need to talk about this actually separately. Yeah, I was given the bare minimum.
Yep.
As you said, I was not given the brand touch points or anything. And so, all right, is it possible to give the brand experiences and creating these moments in this situation? It's very difficult. Probably you could, but you can show that you care.
Mm-hmm.
You can show empathy. You can show through many ways that, yes, this is a difficult situation, but we are doing our best. We are trying our best. Meet us halfway. This was not the case. No one was telling me we're doing our best. It was, this is it. This is what you get.
Yep.
And it brings me back to, I think that that's this pandemic, this virus is really hitting big corporations. And I'm saying this, I'm emphasizing on big, the sheer size. It's hitting them in their blind spot because big corporations are very slow to change. But we are now in a situation where we have to change almost daily and we have to adapt almost daily. But the sheer size of these organizations, it's almost impossible. Unless you really put the generals on the floor and they also have to pick up a bayonet and run with their soldiers.
Yep.
So I think, yeah, sometimes some hotels, I think, should have just taken the decision to stay closed.
It's one of my concerns. Yeah, I think I come back to, yeah, like what you just said, because, you know, in Asia, it's all about the shagcation. Right.
Yeah.
Staycation. Right. The old shagcation.
Yes.
And again, you're not offering all your amenities.
Mm.
You're not offering all your outlets. Right. Mm. And this is how some customers, because now, you know, you're selling your rooms at a very discounted rate.
Yeah.
This is how some customers are experiencing your brand for the first time.
Yes. Completely.
You know? And it may, I think, you know, it's quite detrimental because that's their, you know, first and only experience they have of
your brand. Yeah.
Yep. So.
Yeah. No, it's very, I'm not, this is not a disclaimer, but let's not forget, it's none of what we're saying is easy. Okay.
No.
It's easy to talk about it. But it's interesting to see how this pandemic affects processes and how bigger companies are completely lost because they're so big that these processes are almost impossible to change on the fly.
Yep.
It's very, very hard. So that's why I said it's sad because a smaller hotel or non-branded hotel would have probably managed this much better.
Yep.
Because
they can cater to individual requirements and they can change things if things don't work once they get feedback.
Yeah, and also I think there's more hospitality in smaller hotels.
Of course.
Because and there's more passion. There are big brands, sadly, you're very disconnected from your customers. And hotels that have more than 150 rooms, that means that you have more than 300 people. If you're full, you have more than 300 people in your building. How can you care for everyone? You can't. It's impossible.
Of course.
It's impossible. It's numbers. You see numbers. Numbers, how many check-ins, how many check-outs. That's what you know. You don't know how many, what's the life or the name of every person that comes in.
Well... Yeah, I you're kind of speaking to the
preaching, you know, preaching to the
you're preaching to the because I think from a customer point of view, I think we're all kind of locked into this whole you know, we've all kind of got the brand guidance on what we should be doing, and now we've just kind of accepted, well, this is our new standard or this is our new normal. That lovely buzzword, right?
Mm.
But some things that are the new normal don't necessarily convert to best customer experience, especially when it doesn't have to be this challenging. You know,
yes,
the new normal shouldn't make customers' lives even harder. Or I think you could still give an excellent product without having to, you know, dilute or, you know, lessen your product anymore.
I also think that a lot of hotels would and brands would gain a lot of recognition and respect from customers if they were very transparent and said, okay, listen, we are in a situation where we can't provide our brand touch points, the little special touches that make our brand what it is. We can't do this because of social distancing, because of this and that. So you want to stay in our hotel? We welcome you. We are letting you know that we won't be able to do this and this and this. And therefore, we will greatly reduce our room rates because you won't get the full experience. We are aware of this and we don't want you to pay for something that you're not going to get. Yep. And I think brands that are brave enough to do this, me as a customer, I'd say, wow, okay, yeah, these guys, they are honest, they get it. I don't mind receiving less service. I know I'm going to pay less for it. I think that's very honest, and that's always a great thing. I think a 100%. Lot of people are trying. I think a lot of we're trying to mask a lot of things too much, and still get away with very high rates.
Well, I'm surprised about the rate. Actually, that's what I'm actually caught up in all this. I mean, if it was a lower rate, you could kind of, I wouldn't say you can, it justifies it, but at least you can make peace with yourself. Like, okay, I'm paying a lesser rate. But if you're still charging the full rate and you're not delivering your full product, then that's just, you know, murder on the Orient Express.
Yes.
Sebastian, good talking to you as always.
Always.
Good to be back as well. I know we've had a little bit of a hiatus, but
yes.
I think with all our traveling and trips in between, it'll things.
It will smooth out.
Normal resumption of service is back.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
See you next week.
See you next week.